We are just so blessed to be with you all this evening. If you will, turn with me in your Bibles to Judges chapter 16. Judges chapter 16. Now, this morning I was wearing a different tie. And I got so many comments on that tie because it was orange and blue. And something really bad happened yesterday and nobody wanted to talk about it, you see. So I figured I better change ties if I didn't want anyone to listen to me tonight. But anyways, we'll take Judges chapter 16 and we're going to begin reading in Judges 16, starting in verse 4. Please follow along in your Bibles as I read aloud. And the Bible says, "And it came to pass afterward that he," that's Samson, "loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her, and said unto her, Entice him, and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give thee every one of us 1,100 pieces of silver. And Delilah said unto Samson, Tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. And Samson said unto her, If they bind me with 7 green withs that were never dried, then shall I be weak, and be as another man. And then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green withs, which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber. And she said unto him, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson, and ye break the withs, as a thread of tow is broken when it toucheth the fire. So his strength was not known. And Delilah said unto Samson, Behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, If they bind me fast with new ropes that were never occupied, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Delilah therefore took new ropes and bound him therewith, and said unto him, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And there were liers in wait abiding in the chamber, and he brake them from off his arms like a thread. And Delilah said unto Samson, Hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, If thou weavest the 7 locks of my head with the web. And she fastened it with the pin, and said unto him, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awaked out of his sleep, and went away with the pin of the beam, and with the web. And she said unto him, How canst thou say, I love thee, when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these 3 times, and hast not told me wherein my great strength lieth. And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him, so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart, and said unto her, There hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, he sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, Come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand, and she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head, and she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep, and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Let's have a word of prayer this evening together, shall we? Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the time this evening to open up the Word of God. Lord, I am asking that you would give me clarity in the preaching of thy word. And Lord, I am asking that the Spirit of God might convict us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Lord, that we would come under conviction of God and not of men. For that will thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When I had read this account of Samson, I couldn't help but think of my grandmother. Now, that sounds strange, doesn't it? Now, my grandmother was an interesting lady. She had a very rough home life growing up. She grew up in a family that, once she hit about 11, 12 years old, they sent her out of the home and told her she had to now work. And she would live in other people's homes, taking care of their house and their kids, and the money would then go to her parents. Well, it became quite an awful situation to live in, and so she got out of that situation by marriage. So she got married very, very early, and after she had got married, she was invited to an Oliver B. Green tent meeting. Anybody ever hear of Oliver B. Green? Amen. And so she was invited to this meeting where she heard the gospel, she got saved by the grace of God, and her life was absolutely changed. Now, after she got saved, she was always an outspoken person before she was saved and after she was saved. She had no problem telling you what she thought and anyone else. And there was a time that she was at the doctor's office. And now my grandmother was always very sick. And they told her that she was supposed to die before she ever got out of her 20s. She lived to be over 70. Amen. But she was not supposed to make it out of her 20s. And on one occasion, going to the doctor said to her, "Betty, I don't know how you're still alive." To which my grandmother said, "Well, the Lord is not ready for me yet." To which the doctor said, "Betty, you're crazy." To which my grandmother said, "Well, where do you think? I came from a frog. How dumb can you get?" And that's what she said to the doctors. And that phrase, "how dumb you can get," is something she would say often. You did something foolish, she would say, "Well, how dumb can you get?" Even to her grandkids. All right? Now, I couldn't help but read this occasion of Samson and think of my grandmother. These awful stories or stories of things like this are not uncommon. People's foolishness. In August of 1995, Klaus Schmidt tried to rob a bank in Berlin by walking in with a pistol and demanding money. So far, this is pretty standard for a bank heist. However, as the robbery progressed, the bank employees noticed that the criminal was acting rather strangely. At one point, one of them asked the robber if he needed a bag, and he replied, "You're right, it's a real gun." This made them realize that Schmidt had a noticeable handicap. He was deaf. Taking advantage, one of the employees set off the alarm. Schmidt remained oblivious. Even while the incredibly loud alarm was going off and the police approached the bank, the robber remained calm and patient, occasionally spouting threats. When the police arrived, they quickly took the criminal into custody. However, Schmidt found a way to turn a negative into a positive. He tried to sue the bank for exploiting his disability. And I could hear my grandmother saying, "Well, how dumb can you get?" In 2008, 18-year-old Ruben Zayrate wanted to rob a muffler shop in Chicago. He entered the store armed with a gun and demanded money. But there was a problem. Most of the money was in the safe. Only the manager could open it. The manager wasn't in. Reuben decided that he would try again later. Wait, to save himself time, he left his cell phone number with the store employees. That way they could call him when the manager returned. First, however, the employees called Chicago police. Police arrived and instructed the employees to call the robber. And Zayrate returned to find the officers waiting for him. They engaged in a brief shootout. In the end, Zayrate was arrested. And again, I can hear my grandmother saying, "Well, how dumb can you get?" But I tell you, I believe the life of Samson, this particular case, and Samson's life, is what I call the epitome of stupidity. How dumb can you get? This woman tried already three times to get you captured, and you're still talking to her. So I'd like to look at three areas of Samson's life where we can say, Well, how dumb can you get? Number one, how dumb can you get in your choice of women? Choice of women. Notice Samson had three women in his life. Look with me to Judges chapter 14. Just a page over probably in your Bible, page or two. Judges 14, verse 2. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in the Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife. Then his father and his mother said unto him, Is there never a woman among thy daughters of thy brethren or among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, Get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. This is the first one, the woman of Timnath. Now, what is important to note about this woman? Well, it just so happens that Samson would have had some of the word of God that you and I have. Now, he would not have all of it. He, in the book of Judges at this time, he would have had the first five books of the Bible. Okay? So he had Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. They are understandably written of Moses. These five books were already around. And him, as being a judge in Israel, would have not only known of them, he would have known them very well. So Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 2, he knew was in his Bible. And the Bible says, Deuteronomy 7, 2, And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them, utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, and his daughter shalt thou not take unto thy son, for they will turn away thy sons from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. Okay? Why was Samson not to go with this girl? Because she was a Philistine. Okay. Now, is there any application in the Word of God of what a Christian should do in similar kinds of cases? Well, in fact, absolutely, yes, there is. Do you know, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14, it says, Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? All right? So if you are a saved individual, born again by the grace of God, you are not to date or marry an unsaved person. It's pretty clear in the Bible, is it not? Yes. But listen, I'm going to tell you, young person, the opportunity will arise. Here I was at Ambassador Baptist College. I had graduated. I was single. I came home, and I transferred from where I was working in Gaffney, South Carolina at Cracker Barrel to a Cracker Barrel in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. How many of you like Cracker Barrel? Amen. Hey, good. Good food there. All right. And so here I was working at Cracker Barrel. I had transferred, and a bunch of the girls got around. You know how girls sometimes they congregate once in a while? Well, that was happening. And they were talking about what else do girls talk about but boys, right? And so, brother, this was enlightening. I was talking to one of the girls in cafeteria at college one time, and she asked me, what do the guys talk about in the dormitory? Bible? If someone was dating or they're burdened about getting married, maybe then they'd pray over something. We would pray over things like that. But we joked around, or we talked about the scriptures. That's basically the majority of our conversation. And see, they said, really? I said, what do the girls talk about? All they talk about is boys. I said, oh. So here I was, and the girls were getting around, and they were talking about me. And somehow they found out, and I don't know how they put it together. They put it together somehow that I was a virgin, all right? And so they assumed that since I was a virgin, that I wouldn't date anybody else unless they were a virgin. And they said, Shane isn't ever going to get married. Well, because they're lost, you know. That's just the way the world is. They don't think anybody's a virgin these days. And so they figured Shane wasn't ever going to find anybody. And then one of the girls that was in the group said that she was a virgin. So automatically she thought that since she was a virgin, I would want to date her. So the next thing you know, people are asking me if I'd be interested in this girl. And then the girl started hanging around. One day after work, she came, and she came to ask me out. It's called me to the host podium there. And she said, "Hey, you and me should hang out sometime." And I said to her, "Well, I don't know you." And she says, "That's why we need to hang out." And I'm thinking to myself, well, I don't have time to explain to her the difference between a lost person and a saved person and being unequally yoked. I won't make any sense to her. So I tried to just put it off. And so I just told her, "No, I'm sorry. I just don't think that's wise." But she was persistent. And not only was she persistent, but the people I was working with were persistent too. "Come on, why won't you go out with her? What's wrong with her that you won't go out with her?" You know how that pressure goes sometimes. And so I said, "Okay, I had enough." So one day I went to her and I said, "Hey, how about we meet at Starbucks after work? I'll drive in my car, you drive in your car, we will meet over there and we will talk about it." I was bringing my Bible so I could explain to her the difference between. So we get over there, and before I even sit down, now listen, I am not exaggerating this. She says to me before I sat down, she says, "So I was thinking you and me get married, move to Montana, and have 10 kids. What do you say? Are you in?" I'm not joking. That's exactly what she said. What do you say to that? I said, "Well, let's slow down a little bit." So I sat down, I opened up my Bible, and I began to explain to her the gospel, that all men are sinners, that sin separates man from God, that the wages of sin is death. Went through the Roman road. You understand the gospel. I gave her the gospel. And she said to me, "We basically believe the same things, we're just a little bit different." She didn't think it was a big deal. She wasn't getting it, you see. So I decided I'm going to give her a sermon to listen to. So I went out to my car, got a CD, and I told her, "Listen, this CD will explain everything that I believe, all right? So please listen to it." You know what sermon I gave her? "Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God" by Jonathan Edwards. That's a wonderful sermon. Great awakening. Yeah, brother, isn't that good? All right. So I gave her that sermon, and she listened to it. Monday morning, she comes in, 6 o'clock in the morning, even brings me a drink from Starbucks, hands me the CD and says, "Yeah, this isn't going to work." Amen. But listen, the opportunity was there. I was single. I was looking for a wife. Did not have one. I graduated even college, and there was the opportunity to date an unsaved person. So, you know, you have to make that decision before you get there that you will not do it.
Amen. That's
good. So, you know, the scripture talks about not dating or marrying an unsaved person. But are you aware that if you are a spiritual Christian man or woman, you are not to date a carnal Christian man or woman? Now, you say, "Where's that in your Bible?" I'm glad you asked. It is in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Verses 9 through 11, and it says this: "I wrote unto you an epistle, not to keep company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters. For then you must needs go out of the world. But I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or a covetous, an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such an one..." No, not to eat. Did you see what that said? It says, "I've not written you to not talk to people in the world, but if there is a believer, a brethren, who's walking in known sin, you're not supposed to have fellowship with him. You're not even supposed to eat with them." Now, last time I checked, what do most people do when they got on a date? They go out to eat, don't they? You know, we are not to be dating, if you are a spiritual individual, to date a carnal Christian. And the reason, it'll take your heart away from God, and it's as black and white as the Bible. All right, there is another area of our life when it comes to this kind of woman. Do you know that you are to honor your parents with the spouse that you choose? And you say, "Wait a minute, where is that in the Bible?" Glad you asked again. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 38 says, "So then he that giveth her in marriage doeth well." Speaking of the father in that context. Speaking of his daughter. We still have this practice in America. Do you know that? They come down to the aisle, and what do they ask? Who gives this woman to be married to this man? And she said, and he says, her mother and I do, right? So, but what it has always been a tradition, this tradition goes all the way back to the scriptures, and that is that you honor the parents with the spouse that you choose. Now listen, I'm going to tell you again, the opportunity is going to arise to do differently. Now I'm going to tell you, in my family, I have seen, not in my immediate family, but on a little bit beyond my family, I have seen where they did not honor their parents with the spouse that they chose, and their marriage has ended up in real trouble. And listen, the opportunity will arise again. Here I was at Ambassador Baptist College. What a wonderful place to find a wife. Hey, that's where Brother Brenson, Pastor Brenson, found his wife at Ambassador. And he knew I was looking for a wife, amen. And I was in pursuit, but I was so busy with school and work that I hardly had time to talk to anybody. So here I was at school, and finally my last year, things slowed down a little bit, had a little bit of time, and a girl came in that I thought was interesting. And so I decided to pursue after her. You might remember that a little bit. And so here it was, and things were moving right along. I got along fine with her parents and everything else. And then she came home in the summer to spend time with my family. She was with my family for about 2 weeks. During that 2 weeks, my parents came to me, and they had some concerns about her. Now listen, I didn't want to hear that. You understand? I didn't want to hear that. I just want to hear them saying, yeah, sounds good, you know. But they had some concerns. Not only they have concerns, even some of my brothers had concerns. So I took what they said, and I decided, instead of getting angry, I decided to pray about it. You know what I did as a result? As I broke up with that individual, and I decided I wanted the blessing of my parents. Do you know the result of that decision? Best woman in all the world. Now listen, I can't imagine marriage to be as awesome as marriage is. I've heard all these horrible stories about marriage. But I'm telling you, when I met my wife, we have such a precious, wonderful relationship. We love being together. I had the blessings of my family. She had the blessing of her family. And I tell you, when I honored the Lord and I waited, the Lord blessed me beyond my wildest imaginations. All because I did it His way. But listen, the opportunity will arise. So we have the first, the woman of Timnath. Let's look secondly, the second woman, and that is Judges 16, verse 1. Then Samson went to Gaza and saw there an harlot and went in unto her. Now I shouldn't even have to preach on this one, amen. You'd say, that's obviously wrong. How dumb can you get in your choice of women, Samson, a woman of Timnath, now the harlot you're gone after? And listen, though, the opportunity will arise. Here I was again, working at Cracker Barrel, old country store. Boy, that should be a good place. Shouldn't be any temptations there. Oh, here I was working, and a girl came up to me one time, put her hand on her hip, and she said, you know, I've been with guys that were virgins before. You know what she was doing? She was offering herself. And listen, the opportunity did arise. But listen, you have to make that decision before that time ever comes. So that's the second woman. Let's look at the third woman. That's the one we covered in our reading. Judges chapter 16, verse 4. And it came to pass afterward, they loved the woman in the valley of Sorex, whose name was Delilah. Now this woman is characterized as a manipulative woman. And this is a kind of woman that every man in the world needs to stay away from. All right? You will not be a happy man, believe me, if you happen to be around a manipulative woman. Notice what Delilah does. She pulls in Samson in verse 15. She has already tried things on him. And now she's going to use this. Note verse 15. And she said unto him, how canst thou say, I love thee. Do you know what she was saying to Samson? Samson, if you really loved me, you would tell me. Listen, that's manipulation. She was using love as a reason to get whatever she wanted. Listen, guys, if you ever meet a girl like that, run. Just run. All right? Not even worth the time of day. You will be so stressed. You'll have so much anxiety in your life. And it ruined him, didn't it? So we see the application is not just for young men. Do you know what also it is for young ladies too? Because it's a fine example of the three kind of women that a woman ought not to be. And you can ask my wife the blessings if you do it God's way. Amen. So that's first. How dumb can you get in your choice of woman? Let's look next. Secondly, how dumb can you get in disregarding God's commands? All right, this is going to go to Judges 13. Judges 13 provides us a little bit of background about Samson. And it says, chapter 13, verse 5, "For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the land of the Philistines. Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, The man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told me his name. But he said unto me, Behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now drink no wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death." Okay, so now we find Samson is to be a Nazarite. For the sake of time, we will not go there, but there's a cross-reference to Numbers chapter 6, verses 2 through 6, lay out what the law was for the Nazarite. Nazarite vow was three things. They could eat nothing that came of the grapes. They could not touch the carcass of a dead animal, and they could not cut their hair. Three very simple things. Now, it's very interesting. In Numbers, it goes into great detail, especially about the grapes. It says, not the husks of the grapes, not any part of the grapes whatsoever. So I'd like you to notice what Samson does then. We'll see how he disregards God's commands. And remember, Book of Numbers, he would have had that scriptures. So now let's go to Judges 14. And verse 10. Before we go down there. Verse 5. Judges 14, 5. "Then Samson went down, and his father and his mother to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and they behold a young lion roared against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done." Oh, isn't that an interesting phrase? You know, that last phrase there is a most telling thing, isn't it? How many of you would be honest now, things that you did not tell your parents? Yeah. Well, that's it? I don't believe y'all. Right? I don't believe you. I remember my brothers and I get around now and we talk about stuff that we did when we were kids. And my parents were like, "That was you?" You know? There was reasons we did not want to tell mom and dad things. Why? Can you tell me a reason you wouldn't want to tell your parents something? You get in trouble. Amen. That's just like everybody. Yeah, you don't want to get in trouble. Now, let's look at this. Why on earth would Samson not want to tell his parents something? Where did he go? He went to the vineyards. Why would a person go to the place of things he are not supposed to touch? Makes it very clear here. Samson was desecrating his vow of eating nothing that comes from the vine. Now we find also, he desecrates again. Judges 14, verses 8 and 9. "And after a time he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hands and went on eating, and came to his father and his mother, and he gave them, and they did eat." Oh, here it comes again. Are you seeing this in your Bible? "But he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. You see what's going on here? Samson, again, is leaving out little details of information to his parents. Ever done that? Tell them some of the truth, but there's this little part we're going to leave out. Why did he want to leave it out? Because if he told them, he'd get in trouble. He was touching the carcass of a dead animal, expressly forbidden by the Nazarite vow. And that vow was holy before God. And then we know, of course, the last one, no razor to come upon his head. This was the final vow that Samson desecrated in his life. Do you know what we can take from this? Is that how dumb can you get in disregarding God's commands? Listen, there's a lot of people that think they can just get away with disregarding what God has to say. And it's not going to work out that well. It is so foolish. And you know the most foolish part about it and the most difficult about it is? Do you know what the biggest problem many times is in most churches? It's not that people aren't doing things that they didn't know they were supposed to do. You see, Samson knew exactly what he was supposed to be doing. The thing that will ruin your life is when you purposefully choose to do that which you know you are not supposed to do. The Bible calls that presumptuous sin. And so when you know what God says in His Word you're supposed to do, and you purposefully do it, it always ends in destruction. So we see, how dumb can you get in your choice of women? Number two, how dumb can you get in disregarding God's commands? And now lastly, finally, Judges 16 and verse 20. How dumb can you get in thinking you won't get caught? Verse 20 says, and he said, the Philistines, she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Do you know what Samson thought? He thought he was not going to get caught. I know this for sure. You know why? Because he said, I'm going to go out and shake myself, just like I did before. But he did not know that the Lord was departed from him. How sad it is that Samson did not even realize that God had left him. Because that is the progression of what sin will occur in your life. When you desecrate the vows that you've made unto God, you're a Christian. You're separated unto Him. You're His holy people. You're His peculiar people. And when you decide to walk away from what God teaches us of how to live in His Word and go your own way, pretty soon you don't understand why all of these things have happened to you. But we need to realize tonight, it's foolish to think that you and I won't get caught. Do you know the Bible says in Numbers 32:23, but if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. I think that was one of my mom's favorite verses. Amen. Hebrews 4:13 says, there is neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Job 34:21, for His eyes are upon the ways of man, and He seeth all his goings. The most foolish thing for a Christian is to think that you won't get caught. You know why that's so foolish? Because Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 6 is in the Bible. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourges every son whom he receiveth. And it goes on and says, now if you go without chastening, whereof all the partakers, then you're illegitimate and you're not really God's child. This is what it means. If you're God's child and you get away from Him, it's guaranteed that you're going to get God's chastening. It's not a question of if, it's a question of when. And let me tell you, the anticipation of that is miserable. I remember when I was little, I do not claim to be a smart little boy, but I learned my lessons after I went through it. One time, I got in trouble all the time. I was that strong-willed child. Are you familiar with that term? Some of your parents know what that is. I was that special child in the home. I was the most stubborn. I got more spankings than all of my brothers. I got three brothers. Than all of my brothers combined, my parents would tell you, that is the truth. And I had a very patriotic family. My dad would apply the stripes and I would see the stars, if you know what I mean. And so I would get these spankings all the time. I even got spankings for stuff I didn't do because I was the most likely person to have done it, you see. And so my parents were very adamant about disciplining me, and I'm very thankful for it. Now, in that discipline that my parents did, I remember coming to my mom one time, and I got in a spanking. And like I said, I wasn't very smart. And I said, that didn't hurt. Any boys in here? Listen, do not say that to your parents. That is not wisdom, all right? I'm going to tell you from a place of experience that is not a wise thing to say. So she said to me, well, that's all right. Just wait till your father gets home. All right. Now, that was earlier in the day. I had to wait all day for Daddy to get home. And so, you know how it goes. I'm just praying, hoping Mom forgets. But it's bothering me all day long. And I am miserable. And then when Dad gets home, my heart is racing. I'm pounding. And I wonder if Mom's going to remember. And then they talk and they say, Shane, go to your room. Oh, no. I know it's coming. Dad comes up and we go at it. And Dad wears me out. And I'm so glad he did. But, you know, it was absolutely miserable between the time when Mom said, wait till your father gets home, and Dad got home. I didn't know for sure when Dad was going to get home, but I knew he was going to get home. And listen, if you as a Christian get away from God, it's not a question of if. If you're God's child, it's a question of when. And listen, it will make your life absolutely miserable. David experienced this. Don't have time, but go to Psalm 32 on your own time sometime. Read what it was like for David when he got away from God. He says, my moisture was turned to the drought of summer. He said, day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. He was absolutely miserable until he confessed to God. Till Nathan the prophet came and told him of his sin and he got it all right before God. So, you know what the lesson is that we learn from this? How dumb can you get first in your choice of women? Secondly, how dumb can you get in disregarding God's commands? And thirdly, the lesson we need to take is how dumb can you get in thinking you won't get caught? Let's have a word of prayer together this evening. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the time with the precious folks this evening. We pray that thy word would pierce our hearts and that decisions would be made tonight that will affect them through all eternity. Well, thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, with head bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around, I'd like to give an invitation. Now, if you're here this evening, you say, Brother Shane, I am born again. I am a child of God. There was a day in my life where I realized I was a sinner separated from God. And I believed in the Lord Jesus, called on His name to be saved. If that's you, would you raise your hand, a testimony to the glory of God? I know I'm saved. There's no doubt in my mind. Amen. Amen. Put your hands down, just about every hand. Now, if you were here and you say, Brother Shane, I could not raise my hand because I don't have that certainty. Listen, I did not preach on that, but I would love to have someone come give you the gospel. We don't want anyone to leave here without knowing how to be saved. If that's you, say, Brother Shane, I'm not sure I'm saved. If that's you, would you raise your hand? We'd just love to share the gospel with you. Anybody like, just raise your hand. All right. For all those believers that are here, here's the first question I want to make. If you're a young person here today, I wonder, are you willing to make a decision today? First off, the first woman of Timnath. I hope that you're going to make a decision this evening that you are going to only date and marry a saved person. If you're a young person here tonight, say, Brother Shane, I'm making a commitment to God tonight to only date and marry a saved person. Would you raise your hand, a testimony of the glory of God? Raise nice and tall. Amen. I'd say many hands. Amen. Amen. You may put your hands down. I wonder if you're here also and you say, Brother Shane, God has worked in my heart. He has shown me. And I am also not only going to commit to that, I'm also going to commit to what the Word of God says and honor my parents with the spouse that I choose. That's you. Would you also raise your hand? Raise that hand. Amen. Amen. All right. Now, I wonder if you're here this evening, put your hands down and you say, Brother Shane, God has worked in my heart. There have been some things in my life where I've not been regarding God's commands. I knew it's wrong. I know this particular thing is wrong. And God has shown me in my heart tonight that I need to get that taken care of. That's you. Would you raise your hand? Testimony of God. Amen. Amen. Several hands. Amen. All right, one more question. You may put your hands down. If you're here tonight, you say, Brother Shane, God spoke to my heart. And the last point, how dumb can you get in thinking you won't get caught? And maybe you'll be honest here tonight and say, Brother Shane, I really was thinking I was going to get away with things, and I realize that I cannot be getting away with things, and I'm going to have to confess this sin to God and get right with God. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Testimony of God. Amen. I see several hands. Are there others as I'm looking around? God spoke to your heart in this point. How dumb can you get in thinking you won't get caught? Amen. Put your hands down. All right, I'm going to have a word of prayer. Let us all stand together, if you will. Stand together. We'll have a word of prayer. And then we're going to have an invitation hymn. What we're going to do is allow you, if God so moved in your heart and you would like to come forward, you can at that time. Let's have a word of prayer first. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the time this evening. Many hands raised, many decisions made. And Lord, we are praying that decisions will be permanent, and that you would help them along these decisions, giving them the encouragement they need to follow you. For that we'll thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As the music begins, the altar is open for you if you would like to come forward.